My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. You know, we looked at the aspect of seeing our body as a shrine for God. So we need to revolutionize our thinking on how we see ourselves and how important it is that we understand the concept that we're just not normal anymore. But as we have come to Christ and are following Him, then we know that He's made a difference in our life and He's living inside of us. And we're going to look at this a little bit deeper today on how we need to guard our bodies and keep them sanctified for God. That word sanctified is one of those Christian terms that talks about being set apart for God. So we're going to look at that a little bit more today. So 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 15 to 20, or verses 15 to 20, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank you for the mantle to rest here, Lord, to be able to bring revelation knowledge. We bind up disturbances and anything that tries to rob us from God's best. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this is kind of a challenging passage to kind of tackle. We're going to look at it a little bit. Just kind of what the Holy Spirit was trying to say through the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was talking to the church of Corinth, but these letters that he wrote are really for the whole body of Christ. And there's things that we can glean from here. Now, back at this time, there was a lot of culture issues that we may not be aware of. Things that we may not, you know, be privy to some degree. We know prostitution has been around for, you know, a long time. It's something that, you know, has just been there, and people participate in it. You know, the Greeks even had a religion based around sex and prostitution. Here in Corinth, I have been there myself when I was living, or we went on mission trips to Greece. My wife and I've been there several times, and my wife and I went there and lived about 6 months, so we was able to explore some of the nation a little bit. But, you know, here in Corinth, you know, they had a temple that was dedicated to the love goddess Aphrodite. And what they had at this temple, they would be like 1,000 prostitutes. And people would go to the temple to worship their god by having sex. And that's just maybe a little bit out there for us to think about, ain't it? It's hard to imagine that, you know, that kind of thing started. You know, it's definitely, I believe, a man-made religion, you know, that is really spawned from Satan. That somebody would, you know, and it was not uncommon for different ones to maybe take a time of service at the temple. Maybe your daughter, and I think they even had some male prostitutes sometimes. They would go and they would maybe serve for a while, and then that was part of the way they worship. You know, I believe this was man-made. I can kind of see, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around the campfire kind of getting wasted some night, or back in the day, and they say, "Hey, let's just come up with a religion that revolves around sex." And they started it. You know, we know it comes from the devil, because the devil comes in to try to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to mess with our lives. He tries to hurt us. And he wants us to be separated from God. So we see from this passage that, you know, immorality was deeply ingrained. Now, part of the backdrop of this a little bit is a reason why they worshiped that. They were more into kind of the concept of fertility and the fertility of the ground at that time. That's why sometimes they made different kinds of sacrifices in this way, because they wanted, you know, it was a symbol that, you know, their God would give rains in due time, so their crops would grow and they would pollinate and then they would get a good harvest. So that's a little bit about what this is kind of talking about, this cultural aspect of what that was actually saying. But yet we can bring some of the revelation into our culture today. What Paul was doing was telling them there has to be boundaries for your body. There has to be boundaries for your body. Because the body is a symbol here, and it's talking about, you know, in the Bible about the old nature and the new nature. The old nature comes and is manifested, you know, and it tries to rise up in our life. You know, even after we've been saved a while, that old nature tries to come up. It tries to rise up, and it tries to get us to either pull away from God, pull away from the church, pull away from our Christian friends, and get us over in this other area so that it can be find its self-gratification. And in our culture today, with the invention of the internet and all these different things, people can secretly do all these, get their motivation from other sources that's not really godly. And we need to be careful now. As I mentioned, this passage of Scripture was put in here, and Paul was trying to get them to understand that the fact that their body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at that a little more here. Once you've given yourself to God, He bought us lock, stock, and barrel. You know, we got the better end of the deal. I don't know how you look at it, but I know me and I know Him, and He's better than I am. But yet He loved me so much that He went and paid that price for me. But yet my ownership, now I'm still free. The free will aspect never gets away from me because it's part of my DNA. It's who I am. God's given us a free will. But part of that DNA and my free will, I choose to subject myself to Christ. Because if we don't subject ourselves to Christ and His words and His teaching, then what happens in our culture, there's so many voices that come in. So many voices. You know, and those voices can come from anywhere. Friends, family, you know, television, internet, all these things that come in where so-called experts try to tell us, you know, what it is we need to be doing. But the best way to find out what we're supposed to be doing is look at the real playbook, and that's the Bible. Amen? What's God saying in His Word for me today? What's He telling me? Now, a lot of people think, you know, God just doesn't want us to have any fun. You know, that's why He doesn't want us to go out and to enter into immorality all the time, anytime we want. God just doesn't want me to have any fun because I really like to have fun. Well, He explains it here, and it goes kind of in depth a little bit, and it's a little bit kind of a challenge to kind of, and I won't go into all of it totally because, due to the fact that we're a mixed gender group here today and things like that. But there is a big deal about us going out and, you know, we would maybe never say that I would go to a temple and I would give myself to be a prostitute, or I'd go there and I would have, you know, I'd enter into prostitution, you know, but yet there's other ways that we kind of prostitute ourselves out as Christians, I think. You know, when we chase after things that we shouldn't be chasing after. You know, I believe that, we need to be faithful to where we are and who we're with. You know, I believe, you know, I need to be faithful to my wife. Now, there's those that have stumbled and stuff, and this is not condemnation. That's what the blood of Jesus is for, to cleanse us from any mistake we may have made in our life or anything like that. But my challenge today as a pastor is to try to get us to see that we don't have to settle for what the world does and think it's part of my culture. Because we have a new culture that put inside of us. Now, I believe it was hard, even harder maybe for some of these Christians at this time, because that was so ingrained in them and part of their lifestyle and the way they lived. As a matter of fact, some of the things that you would buy at the markets, some of that meat that was for sale was sacrificed to false idols. And Paul even said, you know, stay away from that, even though it won't hurt you. But it might make your brother or sister stumble. Like if somebody offered up a sacrifice to Aphrodite, and then that merchant had that meat out on the counter there, and they would know that this had been sacrificed to that idol, they would encourage the Christians not to purchase that, because not that they want to be exclusive to some degree, because the greater one lives inside of us, amen? But the fact you can make other people stumble. And that's why He wanted us to do that. Not to mention the idea about, you know, what it is, our body. And I think our body sometimes gets a bad rap. I don't know. Everybody talks about our bodies. I mean, you know, sometimes our, you know, the body and you know, it's just the house for God to dwell is what we say. And it's just the house. But here in this passage, it tells us a different picture of how important it is to preserve this body. We need to take care of it to the best of our ability. You know, it is falling apart, right? Some of you are old enough to know that the body falls apart. You know, your different parts of it, your knees, your elbows, your hands, you know, whatever it is, these things kind of get dilapidated sometimes if we're not careful. But what the writer here, we know it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was trying to get across is that our body is now a temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell. Now, this is a concept that is hard to rectify in our thinking sometimes. I mean, Jesus, as I mentioned last week, just blew the Pharisees and the Sadducees' minds when he said, when he pointed to the temple that took years and years and years to build, one stone at a time. And he said, "You tear that down, I'll build it up in 3 days." And their mind just went, "What? You can't do that. That's crazy talk." But he was talking about the body. This is where God lives. He lives inside of us. And we are the temple of God. Now it's important to get that revelation. You know, and every now and then I just think about it. You know, where am I going? What am I doing? Because I know that God is with me in this situation. And we need to be aware of that. Now, it's not something to make it so hard that we can't fulfill this, because it's a growth process, but I do believe that we need to be challenged sometimes in our walk with God. So our body is a temple. Now, I don't know about you, but hopefully you call this your church. If you've been coming here, and hope you see that this is your church. This is not Pastor Brad's church or Jason's church or somebody else's church, Brian's church or Scott's church. You know, it's your church. This building is, you know, it's owned by the corporation, but we are part of that corporation. And it's a corporation of believers that come to worship. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody came in here and they started getting, you know, something and maybe busting down, you know, put a hole through the wall, or maybe they would, you know, take paint and just flip it all over the carpet or whatever the case may be, or bring a skunk in here and turn it loose, hopefully you'd get mad. Because, you know, this is the place that you come to worship. You know, they desecrated our temple. But really, this is just a building. Buildings can be replaced. Holes can be patched. But what it's talking about, would you feel the same way if your real temple was being desecrated by the world? Because we let worldlyism come into our life. I don't know if that's a word. I don't think it is. I made it up. Mark it down today. But that worldly attitude comes in and it desecrates our temple. Now, something to know about spirits. Now, I'm getting off on a little tangent, but I want to go there for a minute. The demonic spirits are looking for places to live, right? That's how somebody can get demon-possessed. You know, a spirit of lust manifests in somebody's body. How? It causes them to act out that lust. You know, spirit of greed. You know, all these different spirits. You can just fill in the name. The devil needs a body to use so he can manifest his ways here on earth. The same way God is looking for somebody or somebody to live through. Because he wants to manifest his glory on this earth for all the world to see. So there's a battle. There's a battle that's raging in this world. And we're sort of caught up in the middle of it. So it's our decisions, our daily actions, because, you know, our actions really should be glorifying Jesus and not some other religion or lifestyle. Now, I believe that can only happen by the grace of God, you know, by God's Spirit coming to live inside of us, you know, and we pay attention a little bit, amen? How many know as a Christian we got to pay attention at least a little bit? You know, it's just not all, you know, I got saved, now I can do anything I want. No, that's not how it works. You know, it's grace, it's not by works. But yet, I believe once we're saved, those works start to come out. You know, they all of a sudden we're doing things different. Our perspective on life has changed. We've turned. We're no longer twisted. We've been made straight. And we can start to be able to see, you know, what it is and how we fit into this world. And, you know, I don't know about you, I don't want to sound too important, but, you know, we need to see ourselves as important to God. For Him to want to live through us. To challenge us. And, you know, like I say, we make mistakes. We fall from time to time. Things don't always go the way that we wanted. Our intentions are there, but the follow through sometimes is not. So that's why we need the blood of Jesus. And we need to get back up off the ground again. I'm sure there was Corinthian believers that stumbled after they came to Christ. And God didn't throw them away. God brought him back in. That's what he wants to do to you and I. He wants us to come back in so we can live that overcoming life. Now in this passage, it gets into a little area that sometimes, to me, it's hard to get my head around it. You know, this idea of what it actually is trying to sell us. So to buy into what God's trying to say. Because, you know, the Lord was warning these Christians here at Corinth. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean we have to. How many have told your kids that? How many have told yourself that? We don't, do we sometimes? We forget, don't we? Yeah. So that's why what this is trying to say is the idea of sanctification. Sanctification is that word talking about being set apart for holy purpose. Now, some denominations or religions, they think you can't get real sanctified until you get dead. You know what I mean? And when you're dead, you're about as sanctified as you get. You know, you're away from this old flesh body. And, you know, but, you know, I believe there's that sanctification process that we can do now. And as we walk with God, that separation where we come out and we've been set up for holy use. I don't know about you, but you need to see yourself as a holy vessel for God. That's how God sees us. A holy vessel. When he was talking to different, when he wrote different letters, he called them holy ones. The word hagios, holy ones. We're a holy one for God. Sometimes the only holy we have now is holes in our pants, don't we? It seems like sometimes. But yet God sees us in a different light, and that's the exciting part about that relationship. So, what the writer here is trying to say over in verse 15 on over to 20 is the fact that he wanted the Corinthians to see that sex is more than just a physical act. It's more than that. Genesis 2:24 talks about a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. They're looked at by God as one. And that happens when that physical union takes place between a man and a woman. And they become one. Now we know this more than just the physical. There's an emotional and spiritual aspect there to it also. But, you know, what the writer was trying to get him to see, it's not just your body. Your body is more important than you think, because many times we just see the spirit or the soul as being the important, and it is. But here he was saying that if you join yourself to a prostitute, you are in a sense kind of one with them. Now then he goes on to say about the difference between when you join yourself to the Lord, it's a spiritual union. We are spiritually united with Christ because of the fact that we got born, when we were born again and we have that new life. You know, that life comes to live inside of us, and it has changed us, and so that we're a totally new thing. Now, here's how I see it. I believe, now, going aside from the idea that you believe, like when a baby's born and things like that, the age of innocence, when they have not committed a sin yet, you know, I believe, and many other people believe, that any child that hasn't come to the age of accountability, if they die, they go to be in heaven. That's pretty common in a lot of different thinking when you dissect some of these scriptures. But then, after you come to the age of accountability, and then you choose, which everybody's going to make that choice, we choose to sin, don't we? We sin. We're separated from God then. And the only way to get back, see, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And when you're born again, your spirit doesn't just get rehabilitated. Your spirit gets made brand new, born again. So that's the new creation part of it. I really don't believe that we're who we're supposed to be until we're born again. Because before we're saved, we're just walking in death, separated from God, because that barrier is there, that sin barrier. But when we put our faith and trust totally in Christ, that barrier is broken away so that we can come in. And that's why we have that intimate fellowship with God again. That fellowship that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. God wanted to restore that for mankind. He wants to live inside of us. He wants to be a part of our life. But that can only happen when we yield our life. So the idea what the writer is talking about here is the importance of how we tend to our business. He even goes on to say, some people say all sin's the same. I've heard it taught that all sin isn't the same. See what you think when we read verse 18 again. It says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. So God made a little distinction here. Yeah, if we go out and commit sin, that's out there. But if you are immoral, you sin against your own body, and that just makes it even worse a little bit. So as I said, God's just not trying to, you know, just because our culture says it's okay, we don't want to allow anything to come in to cause us to stumble and to maybe not live up to the potential we have. Now, yes, God's grace is there, and we need that grace. God's grace is God's ability coming inside of you. I don't know about you, but I fall short. There's things that God has asked me to do that I say I can't do that. And God says, I know, but I can in you and through you. It's His grace. It's God's power. So He can give us the ability to overcome. As I said, this passage here kind of culturally was knocking a little bit of slack out of the Corinthian church a little bit. Because where they were located, it was like a war zone spiritually. There were so many gods that they could chase after. And I'll be honest, you know, a lot of people, especially if they struggle in the area of lust and immorality and all these sort of things, you know, that's a difficult thing to overcome. It's difficult because the enemy and the culture, the cultural pull, the cultural shift that has taken place, and it causes us to come to the place where, you know, we're just going to have to surrender and say, God, I need you to take this away. Because our body reflects out the true nature. Now, let's look at the idea of when we're joined with the Lord, we're joined with Him in spirit. So we're in connection with God. Now, that's where we need to be. We need to acknowledge that relationship. I don't know about you, but when you got one of these things, did you show it to people? You know, did you show people, look what I got? I got married. I tricked her. Or him. No. You got one of these things, and it says that I'm in relationship. I'm in a covenant relationship with somebody. I am joined with this person. But it's the same way in the spirit that we are joined with God. And we have the idea of coming in that close relationship, which helps us to be able to have a closer proximity with God. And that's where we need to be, in His presence. Just like when we worship and we get into a song that's just drawing us in. And sometimes, we hold back. But we need to just let go and just press on in. and enjoy that the presence of God and all that He has for us. Now, this passage, again, it goes into the idea of ownership. How does that all play out? Have you ever heard of a silent partner in a business proposition? That silent partner, you know, it's just kind of in the background a little bit. Sometimes, you know, we look at God as the silent partner in our life, and He shouldn't be. God needs to be out there so that we acknowledge Him and not hide Him. Because if we're truly a Christian, and these are this passage of Scripture, right when I got saved, it meant so much to me. This idea of looking at it, the fact that, you know, I've been bought with a price. I'm owned by God. You know, God owns me. That means He has control of my life. And I'm not my own anymore. I just can't go out and do what I want with who I want. And that's part of that relationship. When you get one of these rings, hopefully you've grown up enough to know that you just can't go out. You can't, you know, go out and date anybody else. Right? You shouldn't. Or sneak around with anybody else. You need to be faithful. Faithful to your spouse. And we need to be faithful to God because of that relationship that we have. To me, it's the same thing. It's the same kind of experience. God's kind of a jealous God. He doesn't want to share us. He loves us that much. He doesn't want to share us with other things. And many of our relationship problems arise when we don't put the other person first. Have you ever made that mistake? Some people get married and they forget to deal with selfishness. You know, selfishness comes out, I believe, when you're married. Now, you can be a very spiritual person until you have to live with that other person. You know what I mean? You're living with them. You're around them all the time. And darn the luck, they don't think exactly like you do. Right? They sometimes think totally opposite. Unbelievable. How can they not see what I see? But it's part of that idea, when you come into relationship, then there's times that we always need to say, I need to put the other person first. And with that, we need to put the Lord first. Now, in closing, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's that scripture on, you know, spirit, soul, and body. God is wanting to impart to us a revelation today of just how important we are and that what God wants to do in our life. Don't settle for just getting saved. Don't settle for just not having to go to hell anymore. God has so much more. So much more that He wants to let us tap into to understand so we can live that overcoming life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, that may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I've experienced in my life is when I've yielded to God, He takes that shame away. He takes that shame away. I've missed it. I know I have. And when I do, you know, you just got to give it over to God and let Him take it away so that we can be able to walk in that level of freedom that He wants us to do. And it's, you know, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's the fact of the good news that helps us to overcome. You know, if our religion is based on you can't do this, you can't do that, oh, no way you can do that. And if that's all we see, we'll never achieve it. It's only when we see that through God's grace and through God's greatness living in us, inside us, that we choose just to let go of that stuff. Amen? Amen? That's how we can walk in that level of obedience and freedom to Him. So we need to change the way we look. Let's every head bowed and eye closed.